How y'all doing? Good to be here this morning. I'm excited to share with you today the beginning of a new series I'm entitled, You Shall Receive Power. These are words of Jesus himself. It's a word of promise. He doesn't say you might receive power. It's a possibility. He said you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so I invite you into that promise this morning. And for the next several weeks, more than likely, we're going to be on this topic. This Wednesday in the All in Alabama movement begins in the Hebrew calendar, Teshuvah. It's a 40-day period of really repentance leading up to the Feast of Tabernacles. Some of you may be familiar with the idea of Lent. It's somewhat similar. It's always good to have a time of reflecting, of turning toward the Lord, those areas of our lives that are not focused on Him. And in our All in Alabama movement, there's four areas that we're asked to think about, pray into, and they are identity, alignment, empowerment, assignment. And this month, as I've been praying, I really want us to revisit the idea of empowerment. And I will share to you biblically. Not much is going to happen that's going to matter very much, except it be by God's Spirit. Now, man has come up with a lot of powerful things he is able to do. He thinks, apart from the Lord, I mean, you really can't even take your next breath without the Lord. But the Holy Spirit is Father's promise to us to be able to live an empowered life. So I'm going to be preaching and teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be looking these next few weeks at particularly sections of the book of Acts where we see the Holy Spirit outpoured and what happened to people, what it looked like. We're going to get some theological insights, hopefully, some better understanding. But more than anything in our getting of things, may we get more of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so, you shall receive power. Power. This room is filled with testimony this morning. You'll hear one before we conclude. But filled with testimonies of people who knew Jesus, loved the Word, but there came a time in their Christian life when they had an encounter with the Holy Spirit by which God's power came upon them and gifts were awakened within them. They saw their prayer life go to a new place. They began to see supernatural things happening in their life that they did not bear witness to previously. And there's number. Have you got a testimony similar to that? Just raise your hand. Lots of people in here have had that experience when the Holy Spirit came upon them, empowered them, and just reoriented things, even though they were believers. It can happen. And it does happen to a measure when you're saved. And we'll be getting into that in these coming weeks as well. So, here's how I want to begin this. I want to tell you, when we're talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, it was prophesied that it was going to happen. In the Old Testament, it was prophesied. God told the Old Testament prophets, there's coming a time when I'm going to pour my Holy Spirit out on all flesh. Because what we see throughout Old Testament history, with the exception of the first Adam, who was full of God's Spirit, had no sin, had perfect union with God, the earth was under the dominion of the first Adam and responded to him always positively. No curse. No briars, thorns, thistles, no resistance in the earth. There was unity, there was harmony, there was peace, there was power upon the first man. But sin brought the curse, and man lost the level of empowerment God had endowed him with through his Spirit. But God began speaking through the Old Testament prophets. There's coming a time, let me say it this way, there's coming a time when man will get it back. I'm going to pour my Spirit out on all flesh. Now, Joel specifically got a huge prophetic download about that. And Peter steps into that place on the day of Pentecost and tells people that Joel said this was going to happen. So the first thing I want you to see, it was prophesied that it was going to happen. Do you know that John the Baptizer, the last of the Old Testament prophets, if you will, that was, he was a transitional prophet where an era was being closed out under the Old Covenant, and John came as a forerunner preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah who would inaugurate a new age, a new era. John said it this way, and you can read this in the Gospels. John would be preaching and he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But the one coming after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so John was prophesying that Holy Spirit was coming, and one was coming that would release that on the people. Jesus was that one. When he was baptized by John, heavens opened, and we'll look into this more deeply in a coming week. The Spirit came down and remained on him. Now, Jesus was created by a creative act. His body, which he, as the second person of the Godhead, would indwell, was created by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. And so he had the Holy Spirit. But yet there came a time when he was stepping into the ministry that he was to have as Messiah, inaugurate this new era. The Holy Spirit came down visibly upon him and remained upon him. And he went out into the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And that's when we begin to see him operate in that messianic mantle that was on his life as the last Adam. In other words, he is now, there's now another pair of feet on planet Earth that belong to a man that is completely full of the Holy Spirit and has no sin in him. And because of that, the wind had to obey him, the waves had to obey him, the earth had to obey him, the fish in the sea had to obey him, disease had to obey him, and every devil in the land knew they had to obey him. And so he came, but as that perfect man, he did what the first Adam did not do. He offered himself as the cleansing and the restorer of man to God. In other words, he gave himself to redeem a bride. The first Adam, he took the fruit his bride offered him, and he ate it with her. But the last Adam, no, he refused it. Up till his last breath, he refused it and then gave himself to die for his bride, and you and I are his bride. And anyone who will confess him as Lord becomes part of his bride. He died for all who would call upon him. And so, before Jesus ascended, he died on the cross, he was buried, and God raised him from the dead. He began appearing in his glorified body now that has died, has been raised from the dead, now has been moved upon by God's Spirit and brought to life. And in a glorified body, he's appearing and he's manifesting himself. He appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And you remember the story, he breaks bread with them, and did not our hearts burn within us? Then they realized it was Jesus. And then that very day, he appears to the disciples in a room in Luke 24. In John 20, where John records this, Jesus breathes on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Well, you think he meant it? You think they did it? So they received the Holy Spirit. So they had the Holy Spirit within them, right? But in that same passage in Luke 24, let's read it together now. He said to them, that is his disciples when he appeared to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. So he suffered and he's arisen from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Now, is that still true? Are we still to preach repentance and remission? Yes. Yes, we are. You see, John preached about repentance, but Jesus came to bring that other component, the forgiveness of sins. And when he had the Last Supper, he says, this is the blood of the new covenant now given for the remission of your sins. So now that's the complete message, and we proclaim that to the world. Now your sins can be forgiven. You turn toward God from your sins and put your faith in Christ, who was the perfect sacrifice, and you'll be forgiven. And you'll become a child of God. That's the gospel. All right? And then he says, and you are witness of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now, he has already said, receive the Holy Spirit. Did he mean it? Did they do it? Yes. But now he's saying, there's the promise of the Father that you're going to get. And you need to wait here in Jerusalem until, and notice how he says it, you are endued, enduo, it's the idea of being clothed with something. Like putting a coat on him, being clothed. And that's the picture. Until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What comes upon you? You'll be endued with power from on high. Power, yeah, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And so, they've got the Holy Spirit within them, and I believe the within you ministry of the Holy Spirit is about your sanctification, you learning who you are, your identity. He bears witness with you that you belong to God, about your identity in Christ and all of that. But then there's the need for that power that has to relate not necessarily to your being, but your doing. In other words, enabling you to do what you were created to do. You need to know by the Holy Spirit within you who you are and what you have. But then you need to be enabled to do what you were created to do, and that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Creative work, a creative work of Jesus in Mary's womb, and he received his identity. And Father echoed that, you're my beloved son. Why? The Holy Spirit created him in the womb. But now the Holy Spirit came upon him at his baptism, and now he's telling his disciples, who are now his bride, you belong to me. I want you to know who you are, but also there's power that will come upon you to be my bride in the earth, to walk in dominion, to power, and so forth. In Acts 1:8, Luke records it there by saying, Jesus said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So there's an evangelistic power. There's an empowering for ministry and so forth. So that's what we're talking about today. This, you shall receive power. It was prophesied. Even Jesus here is prophesying to these disciples. Let me put it in a simpler form. He is prophesying over them. You still haven't got all I'm going to be giving you. You need to wait here in Jerusalem, and there is going to be a power that's going to be coming upon you. Father has promised that. It's going to come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In other words, what I do in you and what comes upon you will empower you to be able to manifest who I am as the Christ to the whole world. So, it was prophesied that it would happen. But next, it happened. It happened. They tarried, waited in Jerusalem. 10 days later, while they're in the upper room, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Let's join that event. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, when the day of Pentecost, this was God's timing, had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound. Say sound. What's that mean? Something they could hear. So something audible began to happen. It could be heard by people. What was it? A sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house. They didn't have air conditioning in that day. I mean, we can hear ours when it comes on in here, right? I'm wanting to hear that other wind. Amen? That it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared, say appeared, they could, it's something they could see. Something happened they could hear, a supernatural audible sound. Then something happened they could see. What was it? It says, and it says, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Now 120 people in the room, this sound of a rushing mighty wind fills the house, and then visibly there was fiery flickering, it looked like fire, but in the shape of tongues over their head. And then it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, gave them utterance. Now, let's just pull a couple things out here just to put this together. It was prophesied that this day would happen, this event would happen. And now it's happening, and we're going to see that Peter recognizes that and tells them this is what Joel prophesied. But notice, before I click on, I want you to notice that it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So that 11 that were there among the 120 that were in the room when Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, they were there. But this tells us that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So whatever happened when they received his breathing on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit, this is something in addition to that. They were all filled and they began to speak with other tongues. Yes, but preacher, it's very obvious that contextually that when they spoke with these other tongues, they were actually speaking in human languages that these people from around the world could understand. You got it. That makes it no less a miracle. If I were to start speaking in fluent German right now, I've never studied German, that would be something supernatural. If I started speaking in Portuguese, I can speak redneck pretty good. But other than that, you know, if I start speaking in some unlearned human language spontaneously and supernaturally, that's pretty impressive. And these people were doing that. Yes, sometimes tongues is a manifestation of a person's ability to speak in an unlearned human language. And that's amazing when that happens. It happened lots at Azusa. It still happens today. We were in a service one Sunday morning when Miss Johnny Robertson had a message in tongues And there was a Jewish person that happened to be present that day and interpreted what she said. Said this woman was speaking in Hebrew. Miss Johnny didn't know Hebrew, but the Holy Ghost did. Paul taught later, as the revelation of tongues and its operation is developed through the New Testament, Paul said there's tongue of men, and that's what's happening here, and there's tongues of angels. In other words, there's spiritual languages. He says tongues is the least of the gifts. He says, I wish that all of you speak in tongues. I speak in tongues more than any of you. And he referenced there's tongues of men and tongues of angels. No, there's spiritual languages and there's human languages. Why would he say it's the least of the gifts? Well, I believe it's available to all believers. And also, when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I can choose to begin speaking in tongues anytime. In other words, it is that gift where the Lord accommodates you. If you want to just start praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit will partner with you and begin to pray through you according to the will of God. He's all about prayer. He loves it when you just allow Him to pray through you. Pray in the Spirit a lot. It builds up your faith. It's like saying, Holy Spirit, I want to clear my mind. You just begin praying through me. And that's the way it works. What I want you to see here, it says here that they spake when? After they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And these tongues, it says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. This wasn't something intellectually attained by rote memory or by human effort or natural ability to learn language. This was something birthed, delivered, and provided by the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of those believers. That's what that's saying. The Spirit gave them utterance. It's supernatural. It's a spiritual experience. So it's happening. We read on in the book of Acts. It says in the next verse, so this is the people now that's witnessing this, and it's hearing these disciples magnifying God in their own languages. And by the way, the terms used there, like if you had been there and you were English, you weren't just hearing it in English. You would have heard it in English with the redneck brogue on it if you were from this part of Alabama. That's how specific the Holy Spirit was tailoring the message to the people who were hearing. And that's awesome. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? They're open like, this is strange. This is what's happening. But then you got some, and you always will have them, that mock you. Look at verse 13. Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Now, they're just drunk. And Peter says, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Peter, the apostle Peter. Now, I want to ask you a question. When Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Who finally got it right? Peter. And what did Jesus say to Peter? Upon this rock, your confession that I'm the Christ, I'm going to build a church, and I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. And when he says the promise of the Father, he's talking about the Holy Spirit being poured out. And he says, it's going to start Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And you can trace the trail. You know who God allowed to use the keys to open every one of those gates? Here in Jerusalem in Acts 2, who stood up and preached the message on the day of Pentecost? It was Peter. He used those keys. Well, Philip goes up to Samaria. Revival breaks out up there. Folks are coming to know Jesus. But the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out. When did that happen? Peter and John go up. Peter takes his key. Boom. Opens that gateway, Judea, Samaria. And then when it comes time to open it up to the Gentiles, you get to Acts chapter 10, the household of Cornelius. God sends Peter, puts his key in the door, opens up the gateway for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in each of those places, the Holy Spirit came upon people. And we'll look at these in the coming weeks, what happened in Samaria, what happened at Cornelius' house, and what happened in Ephesus. There's three major areas that we're going to investigate. But what we're going to see is when the Holy Spirit was poured out, people knew something different had happened. They could see it visibly. Sometimes here, things were happening that other people wanted in on it. They wanted that. It was supernatural. It was spiritual. But there will always be those who mock. And so Peter here knew that it had been prophesied by Joel that it was going to happen. Jesus told them, you wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father comes. Peter now, his knife's pretty sharp now. He's recognizing, I believe this is that. Now I know this is that. This is that. He gets the revelation. And he announces this. This is what Joel prophesied. Look what Joel prophesied. Peter shares it with him. Joel, this is out of Joel, but it's what he says in Acts chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days. In other words, here's, and one Sunday I'm going to share with you this, the era of the Father, the era of the Son, and the era of the Holy Spirit. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Now notice what Joel said would be the evidence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, it's clear they were speaking in tongues. There were the sound of a rushing mighty wind. There was visibly these cloven tongues of fire that people could see over their heads. And then they could hear them speaking through their human voices in languages that they've never learned. All of that. But Joel even brings another crop of stuff that are evidences of the Holy Spirit being poured out. Notice what he said. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, this is what God was telling Joel, that I will pour out of my Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The prophetic is an indication of the outpouring of the Spirit on people. Notice this, your sons and your daughters. Your sons and your daughters. It's for men and for women, sons and daughters. And notice this, your young men shall see vision, your old men shall dream dreams. This Joel's just saying what he's seeing, and when he's prophesying this, the outpouring, it's going to be on the men servants, maid servants. I see young men, they're having vision. I see old men having dreams and so forth. He's enunciating the evidences that will begin to be present in the culture where the Holy Spirit is poured out on people. He said, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Notice that two different times, prophesy. We'll see that in Acts 19 when we get there, that they spoke in other tongues and they prophesied. It's like today we heard in the service, we heard a message in tongues, and then it was followed by an interpretation and a public message. There's a difference in a public message that comes forth in tongues that has to be interpreted. That equals a prophecy. That's different than people just praying in the Spirit, communing with God. And I believe there's a lot of things happening when we're praying in the Spirit because our mind's unfruitful. We are just making ourselves available to be used to the Lord. And I believe that idea of tongues of men and angels, that sometimes there's angelic ministry involved because of the prayers. Even though we don't know exactly what's happening, the Holy Spirit is moving and working through us as Christ's bride in the earth to bring about the plans of the Father. I just think that's awesome to consider all of that. But do you see the supernatural element that's around where the Holy Spirit's moving and being poured out? Oh, Lord, help us not to relegate the ministry of the Holy Spirit to away from the church. There should be the evidence. Certainly, as the church goes out, we should go out with this knowledge, and this should manifest wherever we are as the church. I shared this week on one of my devotionals on Facebook. I'm not going to pull punches with you. I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues. I sing in tongues. There's nothing to apologize for that. I'm grateful that I speak in tongues, pray in tongues, sing in tongues. I would that you all speak in tongues, pray in tongues, sing in tongues. It's a promise of the Father. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's something John prophesied. This is when Jesus gets here, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Don't reduce the baptism of the Holy Spirit to just a theological term that you use to rule out the supernatural, that you use to rule out the gifts and the manifestations of the Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is to be honored and received and welcomed and obeyed and followed. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen, I know the struggle at times it can be there, like, well, you know, if that stuff happens in the church, it might run some folks off. Well, I know it'll run the devils off. But what I've found is that we've had people leave our service before. And they've told me this later. When I left, I thought, I'm never going back to that place. I've never been around anything like that. But during the week, their spirit just kept being, just resonated that, you know, there's just something about being there. Some of you are some of them, were some of them. And such were some of you. But then, you know, as you kept pressing in, there came the day when your eyes were open and you received more of what the Holy Spirit is offering the bride of Christ. We call it a lot of different things. Call it what you will, just get it. Just get it. But here it was happening. It was prophesied that it was going to happen, and it happened on the day of Pentecost. And just a lot of folks will agree, most folks would agree with everything pretty much that I've said regarding this passage about what happened then. But see, the question, well, it was prophesied it was going to happen, and it happened. Well, the next thing is it still happening? Well, it is still happening. I just put an exclamation point and made a statement, not a question. Is it still happening? No, it is still happening. It is. It's for today. It is for today. It is for now. I've seen the Holy Spirit move already today. I've seen Him touch and heal people this morning. I've seen people come under the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. I've seen a whole congregation pressing into the presence this morning. We all sense the presence of God's power. And I'm praying that there's going to be a number of you this morning before you leave that you're going to be speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered with the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know that that's a requirement to be baptized. Well, you know what, I will agree with that, but I will say the majority of the occurrences we see in the New Testament, the speaking in tongues was part of it, and just don't be one of those persons that you're going to clip the tail off of that just because you don't like it. Mm-mm. No. You should covet spiritual gifts. You should covet to be able to pray in tongues, speak in tongues, and sing in tongues. And I'm grateful we have an atmosphere where that can happen. I think that's important. Is it still happening? Well, let's talk about that. I'm going to give you some scripture to show that Jesus taught that it's supposed to still happen. Now, you can choose not to believe it and choose not to receive it, but the scripture to me is very clear. Jesus' teaching was that everything I taught you guys that's for you, it's also for everybody you're going to teach. Let's look at this. Mark 16, the latter part of Mark chapter 16, I'm not going to read all of it, but after he tells them you're going to speak in new tongues, you're going to cast out devils, you're going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, you're going to take up serpents, and you're going to drink poison, you won't be harmed. And you see evidences of all of this pretty much in the New Testament as the church lived this out. Then he said, this is what Jesus told the disciples before he ascended, or what Luke tells us happened after Jesus ascended. That's what he told them before they ascended. Then afterwards it says, and they went out and preached everywhere. Why? Because Jesus told them to. The Lord, that is Jesus, working with them. Well, wait a minute. He ascended. How is he working with them? The promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit that now has been poured out on them. He's working with them. And what's he doing? Confirming the word. What's the word? The repentance and remission of sins through Jesus Christ. That's the word. Confirming the word. How's he doing that? Through the accompanying signs. What's the signs? Speaking in new tongues, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick and seeing God heal them. That and other things. The supernatural, those signs. That's what Jesus said. Well, but when you really study the Great Commission, the focus is upon evangelism. Amen. 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 And it's amazing when folks start getting saved how you can cast, you know, that how that starts happening when you start casting the devil out of them. You know, or they've been sick for years and they get healed and like, who did this? I want to know him. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission, and I love this. Let's read it. Before Jesus ascended, this is Matthew's version. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Are we still doing that? Supposed to be. I think we all agree that's still on the table, right? We're supposed to be doing that. Now we're to be baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Still baptizing. We did that Wednesday night. Why? The Bible commands us to. And by the way, one Sunday, I want to dip by and talk about baptism in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, because the book of Acts and how I think it's really interesting. I can't do that now. Okay. The name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then notice verse 20. This is key. Teaching them. Who's the them? The ones who have now been made disciples and have been baptized, right? Well, what are they to be taught? Teaching them to observe, that means to obey, to heed, to keep, all things that I have commanded you. Yeah, but what things is he talking about? All things. All things. Then, I lost a button. Remember, honey, I'm putting that in my pocket. All things is all things. And this is where the theologians want to do a little fancy footwork. You go back and you look at what Jesus taught those original disciples to do. And he called the 12 and he sent them out but two. Go out. Cast out the devils. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Freely you have received. Freely, where did that get changed? You got to change the Great Commission if you're going to change that. Because Jesus said, I want you to teach the people that you disciple and baptize to do all the things I commanded you to do. We all agree, the Sermon on the Mount, all that teaching, yes, they need to be taught that. All the other, but when it comes to, well, the speaking in tongues, the casting out devils, and even there being miracles today and healings, that's not for today. Well, how can you teach people to do those things if they're not for today? And if you can't teach them to do everything those disciples, the original disciples did, if you can't do that, then you can't obey the Great Commission. Don't you let somebody in a fancy three-piece suit who's a cessationist talk you out of the supernatural power that you need to live the Christian life and to do the work of God. And I say that with kindness in my heart toward my brothers and sisters out there. But it is very serious because it's a matter of obeying the mandate, the commands, whatsoever I commanded you. And we don't have those scriptures where he uncommands us. We do not have scriptures where he uncommands us. Well, I don't like that tongue speaking. And I've seen sick people prayed for and they didn't get healed. Have you ever seen people at lost that got preached to that didn't get saved? Why don't you take that out of the commands? We got to quit evangelizing because I did a meeting down there last week and there were 17 people. I preached the gospel and they didn't get saved, so it didn't work. Come on. Let's do a little math, a little theological math. It is still continuing today. This is important. I mean, this really matters to me. My life was changed when I finally got to the place where I could humble my mind at the feet of Jesus and step across a lot of theological hurdles and say, Lord, I remember the week, and I can't share all of it with you, but I know when that Thursday evening came, after I'd spent finally, after some supernatural events, over a period of four days, where God was, pulling my chain hard, and I could not deny it was too supernatural, the things that were happening. And I had a brother sit down with me and take a Bible and begin to show me scriptures out of 1 Corinthians and everything. And scriptures I'd studied, I'd exegeted them, I'd preached them, I'd exposited them, and all of that. But my eyes had all of a sudden, I was seeing things I hadn't seen before. I went home from that meeting. I closed the bedroom door behind me, and I got down on my knees and put my face on the bed, and I said, Father, I believe that your word says this. And see, that's important to me. If the word says it, it's for me. And if I'm seeing something I don't have word for, I can't go there till I get some word. And I said, Lord, I see this in the scripture now. This is for me. And the Lord, I want it. I started praying. And it was effortless. It was just coming out of me. The Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. I was praying in tongues. And it was like the room filled with the glory of God. That was another one of those monumental events in my spiritual journey. And I didn't have a clue that that was the first step of a number where, the Lord had a freight train headed to me, and I didn't have a clue. You shall receive power. We need to be good friends with the Holy Spirit, open to everything He carries, offers, and wants to do in us. Well, it may make you look like a fool. Well, I'll be a fool for Christ. Well, sometimes it can get a little messy and things look like they're disorderly. You'd be amazed how much the Lord can just straighten that out. And you'll also be amazed at your idea of order and His idea of order. Because I've been in the middle of some things. If I had not learned the ways of the Spirit and just been carnally observing, I would have been drawing wrong conclusions, thinking, man, this looks kind of messy, like, whoa. But then the weeks following that, see that man or that woman, how their life has changed, and they want to pray and fast, and they want to witness, and they got the joy of the Lord, and they're worshiping like they've never worshiped. All of a sudden, you start seeing family members coming with them to church. Next thing you know, you're baptizing a whole family, and next thing you know, they're bringing friends. Holy Spirit! He's glorifying Jesus when He does these things. And the truth is, sometimes the Lord's dismantling someone so that He can reorder their life correctly. In 1906, the spring of 1906, on Bunnybray Street, a black man by the name of William Seymour started some prayer meetings that culminated in what became known as the Azusa Street Revival, because they had to move out of that little house pretty quickly, and they found a bottom floor of a barn, had to clean the manure out and start services in there. And something started of the Spirit of God that swept the world. There's so many stories documented about this. He was blind in one eye. He had been in Texas. He wasn't allowed. Unfortunately, it's just the way it was in those days. Thank God we've seen some good change in this. He wasn't allowed in the same room with the white students. So he sat out in the hall and was listening to Charles Parham teach about the Holy Spirit. Ends up being called to go to Los Angeles, California, where he started a little prayer meeting on Bunnybray Street. And then the Spirit started moving. He got the building there on Azusa Street. There were times when the fire department was called out more than once to come put a fire out. When they got there, it wasn't a natural fire. People were seeing fire leaping out the top of the building, but it was supernatural fire, like Day of Pentecost kind of stuff. There were a number of times when people showed up and from other nations, and some unlearned person would stand up and begin to speak in tongues fluently in that language. Numbers of times, that's documented, where people got a message from God in their own language from someone they knew didn't have a clue about their own language. Amazing. Incredible miracles were taking place. And William Seymour led that revival. It was so powerful. As a matter of fact, Pentecost ended up in Florence, Alabama. My research, the best I've been able to do, I've gone to the library and I've searched the archives of the Florence Times all the way back to the early 1900s. And through Church of God journals, I found some information about things that happened in Florence, Alabama. Did a whole series about redigging the wells a number of years ago and shared a lot of details about this. And we probably still have that tape. You can see Mike Sledge, or not tape. Flash drive now, right, Mike? We got it archived. But here's what happened. There was a Methodist minister from Dunn, North Carolina, who was hearing about what was taking place in Azusa Street. And this was before jet airplanes. So it wasn't easy to get there from North Carolina. William Caswell, Methodist minister, he goes there, he's hungry for God, and he sits there several days. And then right before he left, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he had a radical power encounter with God. He goes back to Dunn, North Carolina, and starts meeting. And there begins to be an outpouring of Holy Spirit, people speaking in tongues, the gifts flourishing, the power of God flowing, people being healed, and miracles started happening. He was invited to go down to Dalton, Georgia, and do a meeting. So he's holding a meeting in Dalton, Georgia. And there's a Baptist preacher by the name of John Bunyan Goins that's in that meeting listening to William Caswell tell about what happened to him under William Seymour's ministry in Azusa Street in California. And in that meeting, John Bunyan Goins, Baptist preacher, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, began speaking in tongues. He was lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean, on fire for God. Goes back to his congregation so excited. He gets booted out. And he's praying about where to go. God leads him to Florence, Alabama. He shows up. He starts a prayer meeting on Sunnyside Street in East Florence. I'm talking about less than a half a mile north of Stagg's Hamburgers down there up on the hill. Sunnyside Street. They get in a little building. He starts preaching. And when he preached, he had two white pearl handled pistols, one on each side. I found articles in the Florence Times, the Times Daily. I found articles that told about a bunch of holy roaders meeting over on Sunnyside Street. And one of the articles talked about how John Bunyan Goins, the Reverend John Bunyan Goins, who's buried in the Florence Cemetery, tells about him being hit in the head with a brick by one of the mockers that came going to kill him because of what was going on in his wife. His wife had got baptized in the Holy Spirit and became one of those holy rollers. And so there was Tomlinson, A.J. Tomlinson, who was the founder of the Cleveland Church of God, Lee University. Before all that happened, he's starting that movement. He comes and preaches at this little church. God pours his Spirit out. They had one lady evangelist that came out and did a meeting. They had numbers of people that were healed, baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the first evidence I found that Pentecost had made its way into the streets of Florence, Alabama. So we honor that man who brought the message for that. But it all started at Azusa Street. And today, the fastest growing segment of Protestant / evangelical Christianity is among charismatic Pentecostal. I'm talking about people who believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who believe that the gifts of the Spirit are still for today, and who believe in spiritual warfare, casting out devils, praying for the sick, and so forth. Fastest growing. The last report I read was over 30,000 people a day are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what you see in outpouring is a powerful wave of evangelism and also the signs and wonders. Boom. Now, I got to speed up here and finish up. Here is the media back then is similar to the media now. Here was, now notice the date, April 18th, 1906. Weird babble of tongues. And look under there, new sect of fanatics is breaking loose. Wild scene last night on Azusa Street. Gurgle of wordless talk by a sister. That's probably who was in the crowd on the day of Pentecost saying there's people are drunk. Some of them writing for the Jerusalem Times, you know. But you know what? When the world looks at that, it makes no sense. Makes no sense. Paul said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
the power of God unto salvation. It's a stumbling block to the Jews and looks foolish to the Gentiles, basically is what he said. Yeah. But some people stumble across it and spend enough time to get up and think about it and get in on it. And some people will scratch their head long enough where the foolish all of a sudden becomes the wisdom of God. Isn't it interesting? It's the most unruly member in our body, the tongue. Isn't it interesting? On the day of Pentecost, the promise of the Father, just to show how powerful the Holy Ghost is, He comes sweeping down into a bunch of folks and takes over their tongue and starts magnifying God. And the Bible says your tongue can be set on fire by hell. According to Acts 2, it can be set ablaze by heaven as well. Tongues of fire. I believe some of you for the first time today are going to pray in tongues. Speak in tongues. I want to jump ahead because in the middle of this of the last century, there are some significant things that happened that relate to what God's doing in the last days. And one was the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. And this paper was posted in, I think, 1948. You can see there, U.S. recognizes the Jewish state. The state of Israel is born, the Palestine Post. Isn't it amazing how Israel's still like the center of attention for the world? You know, it's like the timepiece of God's prophetic calendar. We need to understand that and pray for the peace of Jerusalem and honor the seed of Abraham. I mean, we're grafted in. We're seed of Abraham too now as believers. But see, something about when Israel was regathered prophetically in the last days, that's very, very much an anchor point. Something shifted. Interesting, around that same time is when the latter rain healing movement began. It really started cranking up in 1947. And really the healing thing started with Alexander Dowie's City of Zion in Zion, Illinois. There was a great movement of healing. A man named William Branham down in Indiana had an experience in the baptism where witnesses saw a ball of fire came upon him. He had an experience where God spoke to him about signs that would start operating in his ministry. And the next thing you know, there were all kind of healings. All kind of revelatory miracles were working through that man. Others, it started happening to other people. Oral Roberts, who was a teenage boy dying of tuberculosis, had a visitation from God and God healed him. Kenneth Hagin, many of you have heard his name, he was dying at home as a young man, and he got a word from Jesus Christ. He got up out of that sick bed healed and well, and these men were given anointings. God like redeemed them from death and put a mantle on their life. And from 1947 to 1956, according to Gordon Lindsay, who started a Voice of Healing magazine, there was over 100 notable evangelists, these healing evangelists, where these huge tents were being put up around the world. You know, this recently I've just been hearing about what's happening up in Etheridge, Tennessee, where numbers of folks are being saved and come to the Lord. Evangelism is a part of where God's moving, you know. But then you also want the Holy Spirit poured out. God's beginning to do stuff like that. What he did up in the college, Wilmore, Kentucky, yeah, Asbury. This past year, that kind of stuff started to happen. And we're going to see more of the outbreak of the supernatural, the signs and wonders, like the streamed meeting Friday night from Tim Sheets about the miracles being released. Yes and amen to all of that. We want it, Lord. Put a bullseye on us. We got prophetic words. The Lord, about what the Lord says He's going to do here. We need to contend for those. Believe for those. But when Israel was reborn, this latter rain healing, let me just show you a picture. This is one of Branham's meetings in 1948. And he was just then beginning to become known. This was not unusual. This was happening. These kind of crowds were happening by numbers of evangelists. Jack Coe, A.A. Allen, even in the late 60s, a man named Leroy Jenkins had his left arm almost severed completely off, and it never would heal. He goes to a meeting, and it gets supernaturally healed. So he got into the, you know, And, you know, yes, these guys, Branham got into doctrinal error later in his ministry and really got off track. But there is no denying how powerfully God used that man and the gifts of the Spirit and the revelation he walked in. Latter rain, in other words, God gathering up, saving, harvesting, and from the words that are still hanging over the future for us and for the world and our nation, there's going to be an end day harvest that will eclipse anything that's ever happened on planet Earth. I believe there's going to be a great harvest of souls among the Jewish people. I believe there's going to be a great harvest of souls among the nations. As the world grows darker, the light will grow brighter. You know, we're going to win. We've already won. I mean, the final score has already been announced. This is amazing what happened. And some of you young people, you may have no awareness on this, but in these days, some of these meetings would be on television. In 1959, in Birmingham, Alabama, a man by the name of A.A. Allen, who had a strong anointing for healing, there was a little boy that was just a heap, messed up, all his missing stuff, organs disfigured, body disfigured, R.W. Schombach tells this, you can pull it up on YouTube, about the 26, just type in 26 miracles. This chair was given us last fall when Kent Maddox came with the All in Alabama movement. This came out of the tent crusades of A.A. Allen. It's signed by his son here. In other words, this was actually present in those, and I'm not making an astuction out of that. We don't worship, but we honor what this represents. That anointing and the mantle that was on A.A. Allen and others like him. Yeah, but you know, he had some problems. Oh, I'm so sorry, you problemless person. He did this just a generation ago. Yeah, it's still continuing. But and here's a man, Demas Shakarian. Started a Full Gospel Businessman's International. He was just a dairy farmer that got a vision to start. He'd go to these big healing meetings and he'd see mostly women. He said, we got to do something for the men. He stepped into the vision God gave him, and all of a sudden, tens of thousands of businessmen in over 150 nations around the world were getting together and getting baptized in the Holy, getting saved, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, and taking it into the business mountain. And I decree and declare and prophesy this morning, we're going to begin to see this here in our area, where God's going to begin to move in the area of business in Jesus' name. We're going to begin to see an outpouring on a whole new level in the name of Jesus. And we're going to be unashamed of going for all the Holy Spirit has to offer. The final one is a question. Has it happened to you? Steve Barquette, go ahead and make your way up to the platform, if you will, brother. I called him yesterday. Lord laid him on my heart. He's sitting back there virtually every Sunday. And this, he's got a testimony. I remember him sharing a couple of years ago. And he was here last Sunday with a relative, and his story had affected her story. And it's just really neat, as it happened to you. Because as he comes up here, and Mickey, if you'll bring this mic, we'll just use this one, Jake. I'm going to ask him just two or three questions, just as another testimony that, yes, it is still happening today. Well, Steve, I know you had shared with me that you grew up, you had gone to church some, but really wasn't living for the Lord, and then you were in the military when you came to know Jesus. You want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was in the Army band rehearsing in a little sound module, and this guy used to come and try to get me to go to church with him all the time, black guy, great player. And I just kind of, you know, blow him off. Oh, man, I don't do that, you know. Anyhow, he just came in the room one time, and we started talking, and through the process, he says, well, you want to get saved today? And I said, what's... Sure, okay. So he says, really? I said, yeah. He runs like 100 yards out in the parking lot, gets his Bible, comes back, read me some scriptures, and we prayed, and wasn't like buzzards and bells went off and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm saved. But I noticed later on, back then, TBN kind of was the big thing. And I didn't know, you know, I'd flip stations and you'd see Benny Hinn or some of those guys. And I'm like, these guys are crazy, man. Like, so I noticed that when I would be flipping stations, I would see them and they would just like, I would stop and I would listen. And I remember Jack Van Impe. He always talked about prophecy. And I didn't really know much about the Bible, but he would, you know, tell you what the prophecy, different prophecies, and I would go, really? It says that? You know, and that really got me, because just trying to, you know, this is way back here, and they're saying this stuff, and it's happening now. That just really got me. So, anyhow, where do you want to go from there?
Yeah, he's a musician in the military, and you got saved. And then tell us about your experience with the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
So I ended up going to church with this guy. And I was kind of thinking, is this going to be an all-black church? You know, which don't bother me because I grew up around black musicians, played with tons of black music. That didn't bother me. But anyhow, it was mostly a white church, a Pentecostal church, or I would say a church like this. And I guess y'all are Pentecostal. So, one day walking through the barracks, this young soldier walks up to me and he says, man, what's going on with you? And I go, nothing, you know. And he said, no, something's different about you. And I said, well, I got saved a week or so ago. He says, saved? What's that? So I told him, and his parents were satanic worshipers, and he said as soon as he got old enough to leave the house, he left. And he got in the army, but he didn't know nothing about Jesus, didn't know nothing about the Bible. He was dumb as I was. So he went to church with me, and about the second week we're there, the pastor says, look, brother so-and-so over here, if you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, brother so-and-so is going to take you in this room. He's going to pray for you, read some scripture to you. And so we thought, okay, this is part of the program. You know, that's what you do. So we went in there, and he said, he read some scriptures about the Holy Spirit. He said, I just want you to raise your hands, and if you feel like saying something, speak it out. It's not going to be. Now, I heard people in the church, you know, a few people praying tongues during worship and stuff like that, and I really didn't know what that was all about. And so I was first. I just raised my hand, and he said, now, I just want you to speak. Just speak. And I'm so goofy, I'll do anything, you know. So I just started in praying in tongues just like that. I mean, wow. He goes, buddy, you got it. Just like that. And, well, my buddy, two of us got it, two of us didn't right then, but my buddy, he was disappointed he didn't get it. A couple of weeks later, we're in the middle of praise and worship, and, boy, he just went off, man. I mean, he's just like, he looks at me, I go, I think that's it, man. I think that's it. Anyhow,
tell us a little bit about your sister-in-law.
My brother, my older brother, he married a Filipino girl, and she came to the U.S. and they came because they were living over there for a while, and they started going to church. He wasn't a regular church goer, but he went to church. He knew what was right. So they'd been here about a year, and we met at my sister's house one time. I started telling her about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That year, at that point, it had been years. I was in the, you know, I was in the groove. So We all met at my sister's, and I started telling her about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she's like, man, I ain't never heard nothing like that. Because she just came out of the Catholic Church. And so I told her about it. Anyway, a month or two goes by, and I get a phone call from her. And what I did tell her, though, I said, you know, you love the Lord now. You're reading the Word. You're studying. It's great. You're saved by the blood of Jesus. But when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it changes everything. It just changes. That's all I can say. It's another level. So she calls me up. She's crying on the phone, and I'm like, oh, my God, are they in a fight? What's going on, you know? And so she said, Steve, you're right. It changes everything. It changes everything. She just all tore up. And so that was her experience. It went pretty quick with her. And after that, my brother, it just really flipped him out, kind of. Not in a bad way, but he said every time we go to the mall, we go to a store, whatever, women come up to her and just go, darling, you got the Holy Spirit all over you. And he said it's not just once or twice. He says everywhere we go it happens. And it just blew his mind.
And you shall be witnesses unto me.
That's it.
Let's give Steve a hand. Thank you, brother. Has it happened to you? I'm asking the worship team to come. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand, all of you. And when I do, then those who are our prayer team members, they're going to come and they're going to take their stations here in the altar area. And I encourage you, if you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or if you've never prayed or spoken in tongues, don't get hung up on, well, I don't know if that's required or not. Just if you're hungry for that, come. Because in the New Testament, they would lay hands on people and the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And we're believing that for people today. So we are not going to have a formal ending to this service. You are, when I ask you to stand, you're free to go. But for those of you who may want prayer, or some of you just want to stay and pray for those that come forward, we are believing for breakthrough today for people because we need the Holy Spirit. It's the promise of the Father, and there is this upon you ministry, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus, His death on the cross, burial, and resurrection, and His promise to us is to pour His Holy Spirit out upon us. So there's, no matter what you've received, there's always more with God. He's inexhaustible. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to stand. I appreciate you being here today. I ask you to stand. Our prayer team members are coming now. And those who want prayer, you want hands laid on you, if you've got another need for prayer, feel free to come and receive ministry. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, oh, we'd love to share Him with you. Just make your way forward now as we begin to worship. You just come forward and we'll step into this time of ministry. In Jesus' name, thank you. God bless you as we worship. Have your way, Holy Spirit.
O Comforter and Friend.
Are there others? This can be your breakthrough day.
Now we need your touch again.
Oh, thank you for coming.
Holy Spirit, let your power.
Are there others? You come.
Let your voice be heard.
Don't hesitate. Don't delay.
Come and change our hearts as we stand.
We need some, I feel like there's someone here. You're needing somebody to come back to you and pray. Just lift your hand and we'll make sure somebody finds you. Hold up your hand. Are there others? It's not too late. I encourage you to come. Thank you, Lord. You're so good.
Over your church, over your life. No eye has seen, no ear has heard.
The Lord loves you so much. Don't let your mind keep you where the Spirit wants to lead you.
Why over your
the front. We're here to pray. There's someone here on the top right part of you're really having pain with a tooth. I believe it's happening now. And I believe the Lord wants to touch you. I believe He wants to manifest His love and His healing to you. Top right in the back. You come. You come receive prayer for that. Come on up. I'm feeling that right now. And I encourage you to come. Just continue to honor what the Lord's doing. Please continue to pray. I want to speak to this young man right here. I don't know your name. I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm so drawn to you. What's your first name? Eli. Eli, when I looked over there at you, I just felt such a love of God towards you and for you. And I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that He loves you with a father's love, with a daddy love. And I saw like heaviness that had been trying to come upon you and push you down and make you have wrong feelings about yourself. And the Lord just wanted me to speak and prophesy life over you, that He's putting the garment of praise and breaking off heaviness. And that when you look in the mirror, He wants you to see a young man alive to God with a powerful destiny in front of you. And He wants to pour healing oil into your broken heart. And I feel like He says that 3 years ago that you went through a crushing, something that you felt like you were almost just broken apart. And you've had a hard time climbing up from that and getting your feet back under you. And that's been part of that heaviness. But the Lord today, through the power of His Holy Spirit, wants to just minister that oil to you and heal that brokenness and be the lifter up of your soul. Does that make sense to you? Is what I said, is that the truth? All of it's true. So you know that's the Lord speaking your heart. I don't know you. I don't know these things about you. But the Lord loves you. And you're not here today by accident. You're here today because you are destined to be here. Because today's going to be a new beginning. Do you know the Lord?
Yes.
Yeah. You just kind of been in neutral?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I sense. Well, may I lay my hand on you and just pray for you? Let's just pray for Eli. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I bless this young man. Lord, I just pray that the love that I feel in my heart, that just pour out from your heart to him, Lord. And we just speak to his destiny. We speak life over you. We speak blessing over you. And we just command all heaviness to be broken off of you. And Lord, the crushing, the heartbreak that he went through 3 years ago, oh God, I pray that you, by the oil of your Holy Spirit, would pour that into his heart today, that you would give him a new heart. Lord, that you'd give him a new sense of purpose. And we just declare that today is a new beginning. It's the first day of a new way. The first day of a new way that Father is pouring all out upon you today. Eli, 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 even hear the prophet's name in that. And we just declare that there is a revelatory gift that the Lord wants to operate through you. And I see you as a dreamer of dreams. So God, I pray that the dreams that this young man has carried before, that the dust would be blown off of those, and the new dreams, that they would come in the night season. Speak to his heart and encourage him today. Eli, speak blessing over you, young man, in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand and blessing for